is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back on the Huge Show across Michigan, 20 radio stations strong. For the one close to you, go to thehugeshow.net. Want to give love to Sports Extra 1330 in Flint. They've been with us from the start. That's over 20 years, I think, correct? Thank you to good people who listen there in Genesee County. Also, AM 1280, Alma Mount Pleasant. You're ever in that area, 24-7 sports with the Huge Show at 3, the Somerville family. Radio broadcasting legends. For the station close to wherever you live, you're traveling, visiting in the state of Michigan, go to thehugeshow.net. You can listen live weekdays at 3 on the iHeart app. Just search The Huge Show on the podcast. If you miss anything, we're everywhere. Apple, Spotify, Google, Podbean, the iHeart, everything. Omni, you name it, we're everywhere. Just search The Huge Show wherever you download podcasts. Awards rolling out. I know a lot of angst that Kenneth Walker wasn't invited, but it really was an invitation. As Tim Stout from Stout on Sports and our affiliate, The Game, 7:30 a.m. in Lansing, said earlier, it's a top four vote getters, and he wasn't in the top four. So you're not invited. It's an automatic invitation. Hutch will go beast mode on Saturday. Bryce Young's going to win it, the quarterback from Alabama. Speaking of QBs, I did share the story from the Wolverine.com. J.J. McCarthy, the part-time Michigan QB. How about this? 10,000 of his name, $10,000 of his name, image, and likeness money he is donating back to charity. How cool is that? Leaders know how to lead. I don't care what age they are. I really don't. You know, name, image, and likeness money. He's donating over $10,000 to children's hospitals in the Oxford School Fund. The dude gets it. And I still can't get over that highlight when Corum's running for the touchdown, how fast J.J. McCarthy was flying down the sidelines. He almost got into Corum's way. It's like Corum looked and said, wait a minute. Is that Jet McCarthy? Oh, is that my new name I'm giving him? Uh-oh. We better get name, image, and likeness on that Superfly. J. Jet McCarthy. I like Jet McCarthy, don't you? Oh, yeah, I do. Superfly, somebody's going to steal that. Because I'm doing it on air, I will have rights. No. I know the rules here. Because I'm saying it on air and claiming it, I will have rights. And I'll sell it to JJ, and then he can donate that money to the Oxford School Fund. There you go, man. That's like the circle. Pay it forward. Circle of life. That is so cool. Josh Gattis, it wasn't only Offensive Coordinator of the Year. He won the Frank Broyles Award earlier this afternoon as the Assistant Coach of the Year in all of college football. Tucker won the AP Big Ten Coach of the Year, and there's a lot of people that just hate Harbaugh, no matter what he does. And I think Harbaugh proved a lot of people wrong, especially in Big Ten country that follow Michigan. He proved everybody wrong. They thought this was the demise of Jim Harbaugh, that he was done, that he took a pay cut, that he was desperate, that this team was going nowhere, that you never could dethrone the mighty Buckeyes of Ohio State. You just couldn't do it. And Harbaugh did it. Only blemish, blew a 16-point lead to Michigan State, but as I digest this season, that point when Harbaugh and Michigan football were humbled and you didn't know what lied ahead, you did not know where this team was going, and they found a way to win at Penn State. They found a way to beat Ohio State in convincing fashion and throttled Iowa. Kirk Ferentz has never been beat like that since 1999. So Josh Gattis, speed and space, we thought he was lost. He's Assistant Coach of the Year nationally. Harbaugh is in the college football playoff, first unranked team to ever start a season and end up in the college football playoff. Cade McNamara, there's no catcalls for his job to give it to Jet McCarthy. None. The team, all have reclaimed their glory. It is one of the great comeback stories, and I get what Mel Tucker has done at 10-2. They're playing Pitt. Pitt's offensive coordinator now has resigned. There could be a move to another team. Kenny Pickett, the quarterback, was close to him. Does that mean Pickett may not want to get hurt? Will he even play in the bowl game? It's not a sexy matchup. Pickett doesn't have to do a damn thing for his stock. Will Walker play? And Walker could play because he wants to show everybody and not finish with, well, you know, he was the Heisman frontrunner until the Ohio State game, which his ankle was hurting. And I think he's the type of cat who might go finish big. I don't know. I have no connections there. But there's a lot of time until those bowl games. And you know no one's opting out for Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, Cincinnati. That's not happening when you're playing the Final Four. ND, you know, with Marcus Freeman and their new head coach, no one's opting out there for that game against Oklahoma State. I watch for Pitt. If they lose their offensive coordinator and Kenny Pickett has to go up against Michigan State, now again, their pass defense is some of the worst in the country, but if you don't have your play caller there, Kenny Pickett doesn't want a bad look in his final game for Pitt. He just had a pretty darn good game, even with the fake slide where that should have been a penalty. Quarterback goes down and is faking it, should go back where it was and be a 15-yard penalty. If guys are going to get targeting for hitting a guy sliding, a guy who does a fake slide should be penalized 15. And the quarterback should be thrown out for faking a slide. If you're going to throw out guys for targeting, okay? So, yeah, that Mark Whipple, their offensive coordinator at Pitt, you know, with Pickett, will he even play? I mean, it's Pitt won the ACC. What does a win over Michigan State mean to people in Pittsburgh? A win for Michigan State means a lot. Finishing 11-2, are you kidding me? That's a great selling point. Launching pad for the future. Yeah, that fake slide, I've been seeing a lot of that video. If you're going to get targeting for hitting a quarterback while sliding, and you could be kicked out of a game in the college ranks, if that quarterback fakes a slide, he should be thrown out of the game and a 15-yard penalty, just like targeting. End of story. In a moment, Anthony Bellino will join us. His helicopter just landed. He bought a new place with a helipad. Right by Lake Erie, and he flies up to Monroe. He has houses in Monroe and also Northwest Ohio. He's a mover and shaker. I don't know if you've ever seen the Bellino brothers. They go to circuses. They're kind of like the Walendas. And all five Bellino brothers can stand on each other's shoulders, and they play basketball and football while all five are on each other's shoulders. They're called the Amazing Bellinos. And if you've ever seen the Bellino balls move, it's money. It is. It's overlooked because, you know, a lot of circuses because of COVID, they had like 50 gigs canceled. They traveled around like in a refurbished school bus that said the Bellino brothers. And then they had like loudspeakers. We got balls. Yes, we do. We got balls. How about you? And I'm like, I didn't know about this till yesterday when Anthony sent me a video of what the family, because he goes, our family's really tight. They got the meat store and the grocery shop down in Monroe. But in their backyard, this is kind of like how Barnum and Bailey began and the Bellino brothers. I'm like, how are you not going to every basketball game or football stadiums at halftime? And then they talked about that they did go to a high school game in Ohio and the marching band ran them over and three Bellino brothers fell and sprained shoulders and one blew out a hip. So it's pretty crazy. Anthony Bellino from X's and Bros. He is the host, heard weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. You can talk about Michigan, Michigan State, Lions, Pistons, Tigers, Wings, and more. Weekday mornings in Grand Rapids on 96.1 The Game. One of the Bellino brothers, he joins us. How you doing, AB?
I've never heard such a story, but whatever they, wherever this helicopter is hiding, I'm going to need that. We got back-to-back basketball games down in the Glass City tonight with the Toledo Rockets, and then tomorrow with the women's team, and then more basketball this weekend in Ann Arbor with Michigan men on Saturday and Michigan women on Sunday. It's an action-packed week, Huge. Luckily, the Lions are on the road looking for W number two. Call it a winning streak. How are you, Huge?
Anthony Bellino, like I said, host of X's and Bros, heard on the Michigan Sports Network and weekday mornings now, the first local morning sports show in Grand Rapids in a long time, talking about the local teams you follow statewide. So your play-by-play, or excuse me, PA voice of Toledo men's and women's basketball, Michigan men's and women's basketball, you do the Jumbotron Ford Field Vision work on game day with the Lions. You're doing X's and Bros weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. I know you left being the PA voice of the Tigers AAA farm affiliate, the Mud Hens, and you left the Walleye, the Wings minor league affiliate this year just because you have the Daily Show, correct?
Yeah, it was, when you start looking at calendars and you start trying to figure out just your life in general, there's always a lot of overlap that takes place because baseball bleeds into football, which overlaps with hockey, which overlaps with basketball. So it was beginning to be a whole lot. And, you know, to be able to have the time to prepare and to be able to read everything you need to read, to watch everything you need to be watching, to keep track of everything, it was just a nice way for me to be able to step away, and it was a good thing. You know, it was those organizations, the Mud Hens, the Walleye, provided me with so much opportunity. I'll be forever grateful for them. But you know, it was time for me to kind of step away and lighten the load just a little bit.
Good job, man. He's awesome in what he does. You mentioned winning streak. Broncos have one of the better defensive units in the NFL. Their offense is horrible. Bridgewater is so over the hill. I don't know why they're sticking with him. It's on the road. I'm not liking the Lions outdoors in Denver. What do you think will happen on Sunday?
You know, I don't it's really tough. I mean, you look at what happened in last week's game, and I think for as much, you know, hullabaloo we've made over Jared Goff and how anemic this offense has been, he was absolutely fantastic on that final drive. And sure, a couple of throws were like, oh, they were nail biters. But you look at going 75 yards in a minute and 50, Godwin Igbuke with his run after the catch and making the decision that he made, guys being aware, getting out of bounds when they needed to be, hurrying up to the line of scrimmage, just the way they managed that entire almost 2 minutes to almost flawless perfection to score a game-winning touchdown by Amon-Ra St. Brown, his first career touchdown reception. I thought that was phenomenal. So a round of applause to Jared Goff and company. They probably should have never been in that situation had they handled their business, because I thought that they played a really good football game. And the defense showed up once again, when it mattered most. You know, there's a fourth and one. They tried a quarterback sneak in their own territory that gave the Vikings a short field early in that football game, and the defense held to a field goal. They were down 6-0, and you know, they continue to impress. Derek Barnes got lost a couple times in pass coverage, but has been really good getting to the football, made a huge goal line stop on a two-point conversion. I think Jerry Jacobs, what a surprise he has been at the cornerback position. So I think the coaching staff is getting the most that they possibly can out of this roster. I think that, you know, Josh Reynolds coming around at wide receiver has been good. Amon-Ra St. Brown starting to find his flow a little bit. The run game has been very good, and that's what Anthony Lynn has, you know, been focusing on. And we've seen the run game improve from, you know, weeks 1 through 8, averaging less than 100 yards a game, to now, you know, up to, you know, close to 140 yards a game. So it's really been, you know, improvement across the board, but they got to continue to show that. I think that they can build off of that win. Going outdoors, though, however, on the road against the Broncos, Mile High, I don't think it favors the Lions at all. So I'd be fearful to take Detroit in that football game. But I do think that they will be very competitive and they'll continue to play that way.
Who's your Big Ten football coach of the year? I know you do play by play for Michigan basketball and both men's and women's. But when you look at Harbaugh beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten East, winning the Big Ten, first unranked team ever to go from August to the college football playoff, starting unranked. I get that Tucker won the individual battle and came back from 16 down, but I don't know how, and I guess it's just bias towards Harbaugh, how he's not Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Yeah, that's a really tough one, just because, I mean, the expectation for Michigan State going into this year was, you know, I mean, their over-under was set at, what, 4.5 wins? We didn't really know what to expect out of year two.
Yeah, but hold on, Anthony, that expectations thing, no one knew if Michigan was going to be 4-8 or 5-7, and if this was going to be Harbaugh's last year. Mel Tucker didn't have his job on the line.
Oh, 100%. I mean, people were talking about, will Michigan, would they be lucky to reach 8-4? You know, 7-5 was realistic, and that's why their total wins was set at 7.5 by Vegas, because the job that Jim Harbaugh did with this Michigan football team, the way that this group really rallied after that Michigan State loss, you look at that big victory on the road against Penn State, the catch and run by Eric All, the tight end on the drag route across the middle of the field. Like, you know, there's so many different individual plays, you know, going, you know, rallying against Wisconsin, beating Nebraska on the road in a tough game there at night. I think it's really hard to not pick Jim Harbaugh as the coach of the year. And that's and the thing about it is I can say that, and it doesn't take anything away from what Mel Tucker has been able to do at Michigan State, right? They had an incredible year. I heard you talking about it earlier, where if they get that win against Pitt in the Peach Bowl, that's fantastic. New Year's Six Bowl for Michigan State going into the season, that's wonderful. I just don't know how you don't select the coach that exceeded, you know, that defied all odds, exceeded all expectations, and went from, hey, this team might be lucky to win 7 games, to they're 12-1. They have a Heisman candidate on their team. Oh, and by the way, they're going to the college football playoff. It's the number 2 team in the country. That's pretty tough to vote against. So I would lean towards Harbaugh, but that doesn't take away anything that Mel Tucker was able to do for the Michigan State Spartans, because both can be good at the same time. Like, it's possible.
Anthony Bellino is joining us on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. You can hear him weekday mornings, 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. Also in Grand Rapids on our flagship station, 96.1 The Game. The only local morning show talking about Michigan State and Pitt, Michigan and Georgia, and more. Lions, Pistons, Tigers, Wings. Speaking of Michigan and Georgia, if the game was kicking off in 2.5 hours, and the college football playoff Final Four was tonight, on the DraftKings Sportsbook app big board, Georgia remains a 7.5-point favorite. Who would you take, and who would you take to win if Michigan-Georgia was tonight?
I mean, there isn't a sledgehammer big enough that painted maize and blue for me to take Michigan in that football game. I think that Georgia really showed what they're actually about. You know, there's this definite bias with the SEC that we believe, and it's because they produce more pros. That conference produces more professionals than any other conference in the country, and it's been that way for quite some time. So you see that the overall talent level is just better in the Southeastern Conference. However, look at Georgia's schedule, right? Who did they beat that was really that noteworthy when you consider what Michigan was able to do, especially in the last few performances in this half of the season? I would take Michigan. I really do. Georgia showed that they can't play without a lead. Their offense struggles. It's definitely not as good as their defense. So as long as Michigan's offense could continue to win that battle at the point of attack at the line of scrimmage, which I think their offensive line can, I would say Michigan controls this game. I would take them and the points. I would take them on the money line.
By the way, maybe a reason why to take Michigan, if you go inside the talent at Georgia in Athens, the SEC all-conference team was announced today, and Georgia had only one player, their tight end, that freshman who's a stud, Brock Bowers. Only one Georgia Bulldog made first team all SEC on offense. On defense, you see where their strength is. They had three guys, including Jordan Davis, who's one of the better defensive linemen with Hutch in college football, Devontae Wyatt, another D lineman, and also N'Kobe Dean, a stud linebacker, and they had the punter. So here's the number one team in America just, you know what, 4 days ago, right? Number one team in America had only 5 guys first team all SEC this year. One on offense, Brock Bowers, that tight end from Napa, California, who I think is the best tight end maybe in America. And you had 3 on defense, and you had the punter. That's interesting, Because normally, and Alabama throws, you know, a ton of guys on that team, both offensively and defensively. I think that says something about Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, if you can be ranked number one and you only have four, you know, what, one specialist, as you mentioned, and four other first teamers, I think that that says a lot about the quality of overall team. And I also think it might tell you that, hey, wait a minute, we might have a little bit of fool's gold here, right? I mean, maybe they were the beneficiaries of a really good schedule. I think that the role Michigan is on right now, huge. I think the momentum that they have within the program, I would actually prefer the game to be played in about 2.5 hours. I think that's a great time for kickoff. Let's just move it up and do it right now. I think giving, you know, both these staffs, but, you know, especially Georgia, time to kind of self-scout after a massive whiff there in the SEC championship game. I think the delay, the lull here, you know, it's always a tough time for kids, because, you know, you have those that are, you know, you're finishing up your semester, you know, the schoolwork, and then campus is barren, and you're spending the holidays, you know, with your teammates, you're kind of away from home, and this is usually a break time for most teams unless you get to a bowl game. So it's always very interesting to see how coaches kind of game plan and attack their own calendars trying to get their guys prepared for it, because now you're on a 3-week bye, basically, and that's difficult to get up to game speed, because there's nothing in practice you can simulate like a live actual game. So I think that'll be a very interesting kind of footnote in this ball game. How will Michigan start off? We've seen them start slow in some games. We've seen them come out of the gates and start ripping and roaring as well. So if they do come out slow, how does the defense respond to Georgia's offense? If they come out fast, can they play with a lead, and can they build on that lead? Because we know that Georgia, you know, has shown that they can't necessarily handle playing from behind, because they just don't have that offensive firepower.
Interesting to go even deeper inside the numbers. The first and second team 2021 All-SEC offense, Georgia did not have a skill player on the first or second team. They had only one skill player on both teams, and that's Bowers, the tight end. Had a couple of offensive linemen on the second team, but when you look at their defense on the second team, they had three more guys. So first and second team, six of their starting 11. So obviously you see the strength of Georgia, but you know they've lived in the past by having great playmakers with speed and that SEC style on offense. They don't have it. Alabama did. Alabama and Saban exposed that, and that's going to be big for Michigan, I think, when they get to the Orange Bowl on New Year's Eve. Anthony Bellino doing a great job with X's and Bros weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. For the station close to you, go to MichiganSportsNetwork.com. In the Grand Rapids area, you can listen and comment and take in conversation in regards to Michigan, Georgia, Michigan State, Pitt, Michigan, MSU hoops, Lions, Pistons, Tigers, Wings, and more with Ryan, Dan, and AB. X's and Bros, weekday morning, 6 a.m. in Grand Rapids on 96.1. Anthony, have a great night. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Huge. Always appreciate it, my friend. Take care.
All right, there you go. Anthony Bellino from X's and Bros and the Michigan Sports Network. And I'm getting a lot of people in Grand Rapids, especially with how this football season has gone, who now have found AB in the morning, 6 a.m. on 96.1, The Game. To the callers online, we'll get your thoughts. Who's your Big Ten football coach of the year? It's our huge question of the day, Harbaugh or Tucker? You can go live at 1-866-838-4843. That's 1-866-838-HUGE. Easiest way to comment, at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook, and opt in on that free text chain. Text the word HUGE to 21,000.
From St. Joseph to Midland, this show is huge.
It's time to go in the huddle with Tim Stout.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. It's a new day full of excitement because it's a new day for winning only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day only at SoaringEagleCasino.com. So what's Michigan State's big challenge facing Pittsburgh in the Peach Bowl? Well, Pittsburgh has a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback in Kenny Pickett, who's had tremendous numbers all season long, and Spartan fans know the state of Michigan State's pass defense. That said, Pittsburgh also has a terrific rushing defense, one of the top in the nation, at about 90 yards given up per game. Does that affect Kenneth Walker and the Michigan State running game or not? But bowl games are always different because there's such a gap between the last game and the bowl game for teams all over America. Pittsburgh is a 5.5-point favorite going in, and I guess I can understand that from the facts that I just provided.
Huge here for your local Meijer. Now everybody knows Meijer is connected to local teams, college teams, high schools, pros, and more throughout the state of Michigan. So what it means is when you're shopping at your local Meijer, you're basically shopping for your local community. And Meijer is proud to partner with Little Leagues, youth sports, high school sports, college sports, and pro sports throughout the state of Michigan. Remember, when you shop Meijer, you're shopping for your local community.
This season, keep your power sport equipment trail ready with Gates G-Force belts from your neighborhood Auto Value Auto Parts store. Your locally owned, authorized Gates belts headquarters. G-Force belts are made carbon tensile strong for minimal stretch and maximum durability. For all your name brand automotive parts, stop by your locally owned Auto Value Auto Parts store or visit myautovaluestore.com. Always carry a spare and ride safely this season with Gates G-Force belts at Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
Huge here for my good friends on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Now they have their latest no-brainer bet. And DraftKings is legit. They're an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You can withdraw your money and get your cash anytime you want to. And here's the no-brainer deal right now on any NFL game. Just sign up using code HUGE after you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and then bet just $1 on any team to score in an NFL game. And you can win $100 in free bets. Download that DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code HUGE. Then bet just $1 on any team to score and you'll win $100 in free bets if they score. You score with promo code HUGE when you sign up after downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Gambling Disorder Helpline at 1-800-270-7117. 21 and up in Michigan only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
The Huge Show is back live across Michigan. One correction, Michigan State plays at 9 tomorrow at Minnesota. Michigan plays Nebraska tonight in hoops at 7 p.m. Michigan State is at 9 tomorrow. Speaking of Michigan State, I think Matt Wenzel, MLive.com, Spartan Football Insider, is standing by in the Meijer guest line. Welcome back, Matthew.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good. Busy week for the Spartans, recruiting naturally, Mel Tucker everywhere. You get the announcement on Sunday against Pitt. I was hoping for a Michigan State, Oklahoma State, or Michigan State ND. I think Michigan State ND would have sold a ton of tickets, but two Midwest teams. I figured that wasn't going to happen. Early thoughts on that matchup with Pitt?
I think it's a good one. I think some Michigan State fans initially forgot the Peach Bowl and they looked at the date. This is a New Year's Six Bowl. This is a big deal. You know, this is the first time they've been in one in 6 years since losing to Alabama in the playoff. They got the last spot for an at-large team in one of the New Year's Six Bowls. So it's a really good bowl. I think the matchup's intriguing. I know you mentioned Notre Dame, and obviously a lot of people would have liked to see that because it's been 4 years since they played. But there's plenty of storylines. I mean, the obvious one is Narduzzi facing his former program. Then you've got, you know, two outstanding offensive players in Kenneth Walker and Pickett, who is a Heisman finalist. Walker just missed out on that. At least you'd assume he was really close. So you got a strong offense, passing attack again, and that's been Michigan State's obvious weakness defensively. And then you get Walker, who's, you know, we know what he's done, and Pitt's pretty good against the run. And then today, Pittsburgh's offensive coordinator resigned. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of storylines, and it should be an entertaining game.
I'll be curious with that Pitt OC Whipple resigning. Rumors he may be taking another job, other things about personal, whatever it is. Very close to Pickett. Pickett, man, there's nothing left for him to prove. He's one of the final four in terms of voting for the Heisman. We'll get to that in a moment. Who will opt out? Is Walker going to play? Will Pickett be there? Who knows by the time we get to Thursday, December 30th?
Yeah, I mean, right now, Bolt is supposed to play. That's what their coaches said. Walker, after the regular season finale, said he anticipated the bullying in the bowl game. Mel and Peyton Thorne on Sunday, when we had the call with them, they both said that Mel said he didn't know of any players not playing. Thorne said the same and basically doubled down and said he knows Kenny will play, or Kenneth will play. You know, obviously things can change. Same for Pickett. But, you know, as of right now, they are supposed to play.
Yeah, because Pickett has nothing to gain. Walker had a great year, but finishing strong in a bowl game would be a good message for the draft. I like Michigan State. They're getting points right now, a 10-2 team getting points. And Pitt, yes, they beat Wake Forest. They had that nice win over the worst Clemson team we've seen maybe in a decade. So it's a good matchup. They could end the season with 11 wins, be 11-2, which, considering what we were discussing in August, would be phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think there's plenty of incentive to play in this game. I mean, I would never blame somebody for sitting out to protect their own health and, you know, best interest for themselves. But that said, yeah, Walker's got something to prove. I think we'd probably get a little bit of a, you know, that chip on the shoulder thing from not getting the invite to New York. And then, I mean, you got the potential to maybe we can see a game where there's a, maybe it'd be like the Cotton Bowl in 2014. You see 80 points or whatever put on the board, a lot of offense. I think there's the potential for that. So I think it's an entertaining matchup. And if the big names play in the game, and Michigan State, you know, when they close the regular season with a bunch of guys banged up, so they expected to be healthier for the bowl. So you could see some other notable guys back. And yeah, I think it's a pretty intriguing matchup.
And Walker, in terms of the Heisman, it's about voting. It wasn't as much of a diss as a lot of people initially thought. He didn't finish in the top four in voting, which is kind of crazy to think Pickett would get more votes than him. Was it just the Ohio State game and the big stage there that dropped him from a front runner to a guy who doesn't even get invited?
Yeah, I think that was a huge factor in it, and it's really unfortunate. It's not Kenneth's fault. You're going to that game, and again, like you mentioned, he may have been the leader at that point in time. And then, you know, you're down 28-0. He's got three carries, and he's got an ankle injury. So at that point, you're in a no-win situation for Michigan State. You want to keep his Heisman hopes alive, but you're also down, getting creamed, and you need to throw the ball, and you have to kind of go away from what your game plan would normally be. And if you do play him, and he's at less than 100%, and he gets further injured, then you're going to take the heat for playing him in a blowout. So no win situation. It's not like he went out there and ran 25 times for 15 yards and Ohio State shut him down. And, you know, if he had gotten 20 carries, he'd have gone for over 100 yards. I firmly believe that. It just wasn't the way it was set up that day. And there's a lot of recency bias, obviously, in the Heisman. You know, that was, you know, the last time Michigan State was on the big stage and they got crushed, and Stroud had an outstanding game. And after that, you know, Walker had a really, you know, good game against Penn State in the snow, but how many Heisman voters were really watching that?
I know.
So,
yeah. It was crazy. But you know what? Still a great year, and I'm curious with this bowl game. Matt Wenzel, you can follow everything Michigan State football at MLive.com. Matt, thank you for the update.
Yeah, no problem, Bill. Have a good night.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. We got to get to a network, T.O. Remember, all the podcasts are there. We're everywhere. If you miss a show, Apple, Spotify, Google, Podbean, iHeart, and more. Just search The Huge Show to get the free podcast and catch up whenever you want to and on your schedule. Search The Huge Show where you download podcasts.
Everything huge, 24/7 at thehugeshow.net.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you with a special offer on college basketball. Hi, this is Matt Shepard. Simply place a $10 money line wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer in that game, you're going to win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use my bonus code, SHEPBET200, when you make your first bet. Enjoy college hoops like never before with BetMGM's live betting options and boosted odds specials right there at your fingertips all college basketball season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code SHEPBET200 to win $200 in free bets. If a three-pointer is made in the game, you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Michigan only, and new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. If you think you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
Huge here for all the Mr. Car Wash locations across Michigan. You're going to want to look into that unlimited monthly pass that I use. Superfly Hayes, my producer, uses it. I can get my SUV washed as often as I like for one low price. You can sign up today. Just go to MrCarWash.com or stop by your local Mr. Car Wash location here in Michigan for the one close to you. And to get that unlimited pass, go to MrCarWash.com.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
Jim Comperoni, SpartanMeg.com, the MSU insider, is standing by on the Meyer guest line. And Comp, what were you thinking when you heard last night that Walker wasn't invited to the Heisman ceremony?
You know, I was not completely surprised. It seemed like things were kind of heading that way in terms of, you know, late season interest and momentum. And, you know, in the Heisman race, you know how it is. When somebody becomes a Heisman contender in October and a Heisman favorite in November, then the voters and the media and the pundits start looking for ways to eliminate people, which is understandable. So, there were some straw votes, some polls done by, I think, The Athletic. They would poll some of the Heisman voters. And I think Walker emerged as number one in the votes, excuse me, prior to the Ohio State game. Then the Ohio State game, of course, not much production. The week after the Ohio State game, I heard a lot of national talk shows and hosts saying that Kenneth Walker was shut down in that game. And that's true statistically, but what none of them ever said is that he had an injured ankle, and he did well just to take the field. He had a couple good runs in that game, then the scoreboard went south, and Michigan State could no longer throw it, and they took him out of the game because of a health situation. No one ever mentioned that it was the injury. Now, that's part of the Heisman race. If you get injured, that's not their problem. That's the player's problem, and I understand he should not have won the Heisman. But in all of that talk, it became a big negative that he was shut down by Ohio State. If that asterisk had been pointed out with some of the talk shows, which are listened to by a lot of Heisman voters, maybe Kenneth Walker would have finished third on more of those ballots and gotten enough points to get in the top five and get invited there. I really think, hey, Bill, editorial statement. I don't know if it's news to you, but there's a lot of stupid people that vote for the Heisman. A lot of stupid people, okay? So you got to help them along sometimes. I'm not talking about you, but I mean, in general, people have to help them along and give them all the information because they're not operating with all the information. So, yeah, he was not going to win it. And if he had played really well against Ohio State, he would have stayed at the top. But like you say, if you're the, you know, he was the number one leading rusher in the country for a lot of the year. He's number two leading rusher. But also, in this day and age, it's hard for a running back to consistently put up numbers. You talked about the Heisman being a running back award, and that was true certainly when we were growing up. Derrick Henry won it in 2015, but he's the only guy that's won the Heisman since Mark Ingram, and those two are the only ones, and there was a running back Heisman winners. Those are the only two since Reggie Bush in 2005. My point is, it's a quarterback award because quarterbacks have a chance to more consistently put up numbers, which fool the stupid people. Now, the quarterback at Alabama, Bryce Young, had a great comeback to save that game against Auburn. Well, why did they need to be saved against a 6-5 team? Alabama had only 3 points for the first 59 minutes of that game. He was 25 of 51. Those are not good numbers. But he throws for 300 plus, and he has the game-winning tied drive at the end, and that becomes a plus day for him. The equivalent of that day for a running back is being held to about 55 yards. But the quarterback stats fool
the dumb people, and that's who votes on this. Not all of them, but a lot of them. But, hey, Walker had a great season. He deserved to be in it, deserves to go to New York, but it's hard to get people to see all those things, Bill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like you're bothered by it at all, so let's just move on. Jim Comperoni, SpartanMeg.com. You want to follow everything Michigan State football, basketball, and Spartan athletics, just go to SpartanMeg.com. I am curious, after I heard on Sunday it would be Narduzzi and Pitt and Michigan State in that New Year's Six Bowl in Atlanta. I know the Spartan fan base, I think, will travel, but, man, Pitt's in a town where it's a Steeler city, not a college football city, and a lot of Penn State fans in Pittsburgh, believe it or not. I wonder what that crowd's going to be like. For Michigan State, it's not a rival. It's not ND. If they were playing ND out in the desert, it'd be a tough ticket, impossible to get. Your thoughts on what type of crowd to expect on both sides at the Peach Bowl on Thursday, December 30th?
You're right. That's a great question. You know, Pat Narduzzi was talking about it on Sunday during the teleconference that he was really happy with Pitt's turnout of fans at the ACC title game in Charlotte. It's the first time, they've been in that twice, but it's the first time they've won a conference title in a long, long time. First time they've won 10 games since 1981, I think, when Dan Marino was there. So the Pitt crowd has come out of hibernation a little bit, and he expects them to show up well in Atlanta. How many people did they have in Charlotte? Pittsburgh, probably about 20,000. How many will Michigan State have? Probably something like that. Maybe a little less. This is the first time the Peach Bowl has had a game that did not involve at least one Southern team since 1985. Okay? So Peach Bowl used to be kind of a mid-level bowl game. They've done a great job of elevating their bowl to become what they are now, a New Year's Six Bowl. It used to be a mid-level bowl. It used to be down there, you know, with the Liberty Bowl, Gator Bowl, that type of thing. They've got a great stadium. They've elevated their identity, and it's become a New Year's Six Bowl, obviously. Now, if you want to become a New Year's Six Bowl, at some point you have to have a bowl that's not just a regional game. Now, we've seen the Orange Bowl run into that problem in recent years. You know, the Orange Bowl used to be great, sold out every year, national championship implications. But in recent years, we've seen the Orange Bowl only have 45, 50,000 people, maybe 40,000 people sometimes. So now it's the Peach Bowl's turn. First time since 1985 they've not had a Southern team. In 1985, it was Illinois against Army in the Peach Bowl. You know what the attendance was? 29,000. So now the Peach Bowl has elevated its stature. They've got it's not a regional bowl this year. It's a New Year's Six Bowl without it being a playoff game, and we'll see how well that does. But I'm thinking somewhere around 50,000, with Pitt and Michigan State each bringing about 20,000. That's my guess.
Jim Comperoni, SpartanMeg.com, the MSU insider, joining us on the Meyer guest line. We'll talk more as we get closer to kickoff of the Peach Bowl comp. Thank you for the update on Walker, and we'll talk soon.
Always great to throw some historical perspective in there. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm glad you didn't have any issue with the stupid voters, okay?
Yeah, you know, if he came in fifth, you know, for him, it'd been nice for him to go there. And you know, running backs, it's hard for them to stay in the running. A lot of good players that are for that award, no question about it. A lot of good, very good players.
Good stuff, Comp, man. We'll talk in a few, okay?
Absolutely. Sounds great.
All right, Jim Comperoni, SpartanMeg.com. Joining us on the Meyer guest line, and Meyer proud to be longtime partners with Michigan State University. And you can gear up for the Peach Bowl or Spartan Hoops. Quality license official MSU gear, a huge selection. Always had that great Meyer price inside the team gear department at your local Meyer. Wrapping up a Tuesday broadcast, shout out to our friends in Mount Pleasant, Michigan at the incredible Soarin' Eagle Casino and Resort. They have a huge New Year's Eve bash. Get your tickets, reserve your hotel room now at SoarinEagleCasino.com. Also, you can do it via the Eagle Access app. Download that. And if you're listening in the Midland Bay City, Saginaw area, Midland, you bump right over to Soarin' Eagle, or you can celebrate New Year's Eve at the Saginaw Eagles Landing Casino and Hotel in Standish. Easiest way, though, the bash at Soarin' Eagle is one of the biggest in the state. Go to SoarinEagleCasino.com for more details. That is Soarin' EagleCasino.com or download that Eagle Access app. 24/7, everything you need is free at thehugeshow.net.
Big, bad, huge.